This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me is our history doctor, Bill Smith. Bill, welcome back.
Glad to be back.
Donald Trump flirted with the GOP race. He's gone from the field. Mayor Bloomberg in New York continues to kind of hover around. But even in a bloated 2012 race, our history doctor tells me, there are more and more outsider candidates that have existed in history to discuss this. Bill, tell me about some of these niche candidates we've had.
Well, this is a command performance just for you.
I had emailed you and said, what about these people that seem to orbit around an election and do or don't get in?
Well, you know, Robert Todd Lincoln getting three or four votes toward the Republican nomination in 1888 is pretty interesting like that.
And I didn't know that happened.
The phenomenon of the non-politician candidate, though, and I think that's really what you're thinking of when you talk about a Donald Trump, a Bloomberg, Herman Cain, you know, businessmen, people that have not served in federal or for any other substantive state elected office.
Removing military like Eisenhower or Grant or someone like that.
Well, yes, but I mean, let's focus on the elected part.
Oh, okay.
Because it really is a 20th century phenomenon.
And that surprises me, because I would think that back in the 19th century, your favorite era of politics, you'd have guys coming out of the woodwork.
That's true, but almost all of them were gaining their fame through politics.
Oh.
Think about...
Which was the celebrity of the day.
Exactly, and the performance art of the day. You didn't have CNN. You didn't have direct-to-consumer publishing available to individuals to build, as we would call today, a brand around your celebrity.
Talk
radio. You had to be an elected official of some kind, and almost all of the major party candidates, with a few exceptions, were elected to something. Hmm. They were somehow involved in the electoral process before they got involved in the presidential races.
So actually, this is a part where the last century, where we've had pro wrestlers as governors of Minnesota and action movie stars as a governor of California, we're a little bit odder than our history.
Indeed, you might say so, because they did not work their way up through the political minor leagues, as was very much the case, frankly, up into the Second World War, for the most part. Now, you do see in the first half of the 20th century several individuals that'll change that direction. Like, for example, in 1900, George Dewey, being the admiral of the Navy, a serious challenging candidate to William Jennings Bryan.
And that was now, considered unusual.
Yes. Huh. Many of these individuals aren't going to get nomination for a while, but they are in the conversation. They are legitimate candidates. The chief judge of the New York Court of Appeals, Alton Parker, would manage to get his nomination and go up against Theodore Roosevelt. His major challenger, interestingly enough, Alton Parker's, was newspaper man come politician William Randolph Hearst. Now, Hearst had managed to get himself elected to some lower political position, but really, his fame comes from being William Randolph Hearst.
Right. You mentioned William Jennings Bryan, one of the major political figures of the last century.
Yes, he's a champion loser three times in the presidential race, twice to McKinney, and finally to William Howard Taft. But Eugene V. Debs, here's another person that made his reputation outside of the elective political arena. Labor leader, leads the socialists in the 1912 election, his most effective of four runs. Not that he was going to be a serious candidate, really backing the Socialist Party, but four times and totally outside the political system. But yet again, we're talking about 20th century.
And still, these don't seem to be that odd compared to some of the candidates we've had in the last 40 years.
No, no, not at all. In the pre-war period, just a couple of other ones to touch on. You have the All-Ohio race in 1920, which is one of my favorites. Now, granted, they did manage to get elected to some offices before that, but you've got former newspapermen on both sides.
Hmm.
Warren G. Harding, who was defeating the sitting governor of Ohio, another newspaper publisher in James Cox. Now, Harding's going to get the largest margin since James Monroe ran unopposed in a race a century earlier, a record in Harding's landslide that would stand until LBJ nuked Barry Goldwater in 1964. So Harding, who again had had some elective success, but really was known for his newspapering. There's your first opportunity in which, yeah, it's beginning to seem like being outside, being the outsider, which seems to be the great theme in this election cycle, is so important.
Calvin Coolidge had a big margin, though, in the early part of the 20th century, didn't he?
He did. He ran against a former ambassador to England in John Davis. So, yeah, there you go. The individual with no elective service didn't work so well for him. He got 29% of the election. So, yes, Coolidge just rolled in that way. The man that followed Coolidge, Herbert Hoover, broke through as the truly non-elective politician, a former Secretary of Commerce. But, of course, that didn't exactly work out for him.
Hoover is not topping many lists of the best president ever.
It would be a while. The next cabinet member that would be involved seriously in any type of political race would be Henry Breckinridge, going against the incumbent FDR in 1936. And he really was nothing more than just a token to go up against FDR in the political process.
Wendell Willkie, was he – had he held elective office before he ran?
Well, not – really, he had been the executive of a utility company, and he also had the distinguishing mark of changing parties. He was a former Democrat that became a Republican, probably the least politically experienced presidential candidate we would have until Dwight Eisenhower, and only true outsider to take a major party nomination in that, you know, here's Willkie, utility executive. His reputation is just being the outsider. That's how he got the nomination in 40. Of course, he loses to FDR.
It's hard now to think of Ike as being an outsider since he was a two-term president.
Correct, but, you know, his experience prior, and maybe it's unfair to say that he was not an experienced politician, because if you managed to become the head of the army in Europe, you were extremely political. And then when you came back from war, you became the president of Columbia University and navigated the rocky shoals of academic politics. Mm. He certainly had sharp elbows, but he had not been elected to an office.
What about in the last 30 or 40 years?
Well, you know, here's where I think we get what you were really going at. You begin to see more and more people that are completely outside the system. I mean, Sergeant Shriver had been the ambassador to France. He got into that bloated 1976 Democratic field that Jimmy Carter carried. Special Ambassador to Paraguay, Ben Fernandez, was a repetitive outsider candidate for the GOP. But Jesse Jackson is the person that really breaks the mold in 1984.
Right, because when Jesse Jackson runs for president, he's a household name. I don't think Sergeant Shriver or Ben Fernandez, even in at the height of their popularity, could have been described that way.
No, and he truly is the embodiment, the genesis moment of what you were thinking of in the person who is. Now, again, we would all, I think, agree that Jesse Jackson is very involved in the political system.
A grand organizer and a grand motivator of people.
But very much the outsider to the elective process. Now, Jackson's going to return in 1988, and he'll be joined by the polar opposites in the Democratic field of David Duke and Lyndon LaRouche. So here we go. Mm-hmm. We're beginning to see the true fringes not only be there, but also get some level of, I hate to use my air quotes here, serious attention in the race. On the Republican side, that time around, you know, you've got Fernandez again, but he's going to be joined by notable non-politicians, Pat Robertson.
Who won a primary.
The televangelist, yes. And Al Haig.
Right.
I'm in control here at the White House.
Right.
Former Army General and Secretary of State. Now, of course, Duke will quickly spin off into his own populist party. But by the way, here's another footnote of that race. This is the first time we see a gentleman by the name of Ron Paul emerge.
And who still is running today.
Yep.
Then you have Ross Perot in the 90s.
Yes, you really start to get into some seminal moment, people, in that Ross Perot in 92 and 96 will not only run but form his own party. But don't forget, Pat Buchanan has now surfaced. The columnist and former Nixon speechwriter is going to get into the GOP race in 92 and 96. He'll be joined in 96 by none other than Steve Forbes.
That's right.
So if you're looking for your forerunner to, say, Trump in particular, or Bloomberg or Kane, there it is in Steve Forbes in 96.
And then now in the 21st century, it seems like no presidential election cycle goes by without three or four of these people who are kind of considered on the outside of elective office.
Well, exactly right. And a lot of times it has to do with the party that's having difficulty in deciding.
That's not in power.
Where it's at.
Right.
You know, 2000 is a perfect example. The Republicans in particular, this is marking the first time that they probably have as many non-elected politicians involved as traditionals in the serious contenders. You've got Forbes back.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be joined by Alan Keyes, who's a former ambassador. Gary Bauer, a former Undersecretary of Education. Elizabeth Dole, mm-hmm. the former Secretary of Labor. And, of course, Pat Buchanan.
Political
gadfly at
right,
this point.
Right.
The pros in that field are George W. Bush, John McCain, Orrin Hatch, Dan Quayle, and Lamar Alexander. So you can see it's almost a split decision on insider versus outsider. Now, that fades in 2004, although you'll see the Democrats have Wesley Clark and Al Sharpton joining in. But things are going to flip back around here in 2012, where you've really got a lot of people that want to portray themselves as the outsider candidates.
Okay, so we can see this gentle sort of trend. But look, the current president was elected from the U.S. Senate, and his opponent, John McCain, was a senator. Before that, you go to a governor of Texas. Before that, a governor of Arkansas. So do you think in the future we'll actually see one of these outside non-elective candidates break through?
You know, eventually you have to feel like you will. But when you look back at some of the non-elective candidates that succeeded, you know, I'll go back to Herbert Hoover, mm-hmm. a great administrator, but not exactly terribly successful as a president in a crisis situation. It does give people pause when they know that you have not had serious executive elective experience.
Well, until a public radio commentator is elected president,
we're history.